Pizza Wheel. Okay. Okay, now we're recording.
Oh shit.
You have a collared shirt on?
I have a collared shirt on. I'm feeling fancy. It's actually more just that it's cold in my office.
Oh, as well. Okay. About to say this is not that kind of podcast, man.
It's one or the other, Jamie. It's either collared shirts or suns out, guns out, and it's the evening right now, and I do adhere to policy. tight ship.
All right, B. What are you geeking on this fine freezing evening?
A thing that I don't actually physically have with me, and I feel like a fucking fool, and I kind of want to run upstairs and go get it. But I think I can just basically explain it because I think most of you kids have the internet. So, and for those of you not watching on the video, I don't think it's going to matter. So, the thing I've been geeking out about, Jamie Noguchi, is something you have used for a very long time. It's Field Notes.
Oh yeah, Field Notes.
I love Field Notes.
They're so great. So
I picked up a 3-pack of Field Notes, but the other thing that I have been geeking out about that I have been using way more recently is a thing that is called the Fisher Space Pen.
Ooh.
And if you've never used a Fisher Space Pen, it is super fancy in the sense that it folds up to be very tiny. Hmm. So it folds up to basically be the size of your actual Field Notes book. The length is about the size of the spine.
Yeah,
so therefore, you can just basically uncap it, flip it around. It becomes a full-size pen. The ink inside is, I think, nitrogen charge or something like that. So basically, it's the one that they developed to like write underwater and deal with extreme heat and cold and all sorts of silly stuff. What I found, though, is actually it's just really great for travel because then I can always keep a good pen on me that I know works. And then I can jot down all of my notes because I have tried apps like crazy to try and like do to-do lists. I'm a really big list guy.
Mm-hmm.
It's the only way I can kind of get anything done during the day. Like I've got a separate list for work. Then I've got my like house chore long-term goal list. And then I've got basically like a catch-all task list, which is what the Field Notes is currently doing. And it's essentially just anything from, hey, don't forget to pay this bill, to go get a measurement for something, to yada, 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 yada. Like, whatever the things are that I just want to pressingly do. And then I just draw a line through them when they're done. And then that list stares at me every time I open the book.
Huh.
And it basically forces me to continue to accomplish these things because I hate having just a list that doesn't have things crossed out. That's a mental tick of mine.
Yeah, I'm taking a look at Fisher Space Pen right now. There are many, many space pens.
There are many space pens. The one I use is the matte black. It's relatively cheap. I believe it is under $20 for the pen. The pen, when you buy it on Amazon, includes its first cartridge. The cartridge refills are about $6. You can buy them in packs of three that are much cheaper. I have yet to have to refill them. I purchased two of them, one to carry around with me, one to put in the car, one because it'll deal with the extreme heat of being inside an automobile, two because in that little center glove box thing, like the little center console, they never seem to have a space big enough to actually have a pen like properly there. So I've always got a little one there just kind of available for signing receipts or whatever the hell it would be.
Cool.
Space pen. Yeah, so kids, if you're hitting the Googles, the Fisher Space Pen is super durable. It travels with me everywhere. I absolutely love it. And I've yet to stab myself with the pen because also the edges of the casing are all nice and like beveled and rounded and everything. Don't buy the one with the clip. You're defeating the whole fucking purpose of the pen.
So there's a NASA joke about a space pen. NASA was – the astronauts wanted to take pens into space.
I know.
But in zero G, the ink doesn't go
down. Doesn't work.
Well.
Right. So they spent millions developing this pen.
Yeah, they spent millions of dollars to make this pen and they figured it out and they send it up to space and they go into space and the Russians come out of the Soyuz and they say, comrade, yep, we use pencil.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Which honestly is probably the best example of, no, but we're you know, but this one goes to 11.
Yeah, like, exactly.
It's how we do things, and there's almost something a little proud. And Jimmy, once again, this is like NASA technology for today.
Yeah.
It's good enough for the fucking astronauts. It's good enough for me.
I just thought that was great.
Yeah.
But honestly, yeah, I would rather have a pen, so.
I would much rather have a pen, too, honestly, because that fucking pencil doesn't write underwater. So how about that shit?
Ah, true.
Yeah. Yeah, I bet you didn't think of that, you red bastards. Yeah, that's right.
No, but they thought about hacking our elections, so yay!
Whatever, we've been fucking rigging elections in other countries for decades.
Yeah, that's true.
I'll be following suit. Let's not pretend here.
So yeah. Yeah. Fuck.
Everyone is awful!
Fuck. Yeah.
Jamie Noguchi, what have you been geeking out about before we get too deep down the politics rabbit hole?
I am geeking about not having projects to work on for once. Well, that's not true. I still have a shit ton of things to work on, but I've cleared out two of the big ones that I've been working on for the past couple months. So I've actually been able to go out and like climb again and exercise again and not feel like a bum all day and sitting in the house. I finished all of our helmets for the Air and Scare this past weekend.
I saw that. Well done, sir.
So I think, I don't have Hazel's, but I have the other two. So this is the Green Ranger helmet. And you'll notice that it has a nice green, like lime green to blue fade. Yes. Because I'm a custom culture nerd and I couldn't just paint it straight up green.
Nope.
Like in the show, I needed it to have like the metal flake and the candy and all that stuff, and like there's chrome on the there's metal here and there's chrome here, and then the visor kind of sucks because
I hate to be that guy, but by comparison to the amazing job you did on everything else, I can see what's either the two layers of visor separating or the film that you use to tint the visor not adhering properly. Is that what that is?
Yeah, my luck with tinting is awful. So but I bought a motorcycle visor for this and it didn't fit. And so the only thing I had was this shield plastic, and I had dye. But I used the dye to tint Hazel's visor, so I didn't have enough dye to tint this one. So in lieu of tinting it properly, like dipping it in the ink and all that kind of stuff, I just was like, fuck it. Like, this was the last day before the thing. So
right, yeah.
So this is like a basic like 50% tint from the auto shop and all that kind of stuff.
Okay.
So yeah, I was really happy with the paint job.
Yeah.
There's some chipping because it dropped. So I mean, you know, I didn't use a whole can of clear on this like I wanted to. I just didn't have time. So
yeah.
So there's my green. There's my green. And I'll fix the visor eventually. And then here's the red.
Sexy bitch.
And we've got a gold to like purple fade here, a purplish fade here. I really like the color of the red stuff. Because what I did, I shot like a anodized gold as the base coat.
Okay.
And then I used a blood red candy to kind of fade it in from the top all the way down.
Jesus.
And then it wasn't quite deep enough, so back down here I mixed the blood with the purple and put that down there. So, but like it's got this really cool Iron Man look to it.
Yeah, no, it's rad.
Yeah.
Did you do a different technique for the mouth guard and the teeth on that helmet than you did on the dragon helmet?
Yeah. So, the dragon helmet, I bought the pattern off of Etsy. If you are looking for helmet builds and you have a 3D printer and you don't have the means to model your own stuff, Etsy and eBay, people are selling virtual files, like 3D files that you could download and print them out yourself. And
nice.
That kind of stuff. So there's one company that sells them for like $40.
Oof.
And there's one that sells them for like 15. Guess which one I went with?
Yay!
So this helmet I modeled myself. So I gave it like The eyes are much bigger because I wanted to give it a little bit of an anime feel to it.
Yeah.
The chin section is a little bit more complicated. I got this like extra padding out here, and then there's
Yeah.
panel lines out the wazoo because.
Yeah, I noticed some of the panel lines. I was more noticing the paint technique difference in between the mouthpiece from that one, which I assume you use what, like a silver on silver rather than the chrome?
Yeah, so the mouth part is a regular silver, and then the chin pieces and the teeth are a chrome. So it's like
Okay.
it's a subtle thing, but when the light really hits it, you can see the two tones
That's
together.
cool. Okay. Yeah, I have a feeling that's something that the webcam isn't actually picking up as well as it probably could.
Yeah. And there you go. You won't be able to hear me, but
We can actually hear you pretty well, at least I can. I assume if I can hear you, the rest of the audience can as well.
yeah, no one can hear me when I have the helmet on unless I have a microphone embedded or something. And I didn't cut air holes, so when you're breathing, it gets foggy really bad. But as my first actual helmet build, that's pretty good.
I'd say it's well past pretty good, Jamie.
Yeah.
What did you use to close it up? Magnets?
Yes. So there are magnets on the side, on the right there.
Okay.
And then there's foam, and then I put elastic on the top because the front part is so heavy. If you lean forward, it'll fall off your face.
Makes sense.
I needed I this is too thick, so I needed to print this thinner.
Okay.
There, I had a lot of problems.
No, I mean, the only thing I would tell you to do, Jamie, would be get some sort of like internal clasp system, like even if you just use like two little like grommet pieces and like a rubber band to keep the thing from coming apart once you get it latched together or something.
Yeah, I mean it's pretty solid now because the elastic helps the top stick together,
Right.
and the magnets are like rare earth magnets, so they're pretty strong. The green helmet, I just printed it as is, and the walls are a lot thinner, so this is,
Much lighter.
yeah, this is much lighter. So I think I would the next time I do it, I would go with this thickness. I think this is like a 3 millimeter, rather
Okay.
than the random like thick walls on that one, because I was like, I don't want to fuck around with it. I don't want this thing to like explode on me by accident. So
Right, no, that makes sense.
I made sure it was like beefy and hefty, and I was like, that should be fine. And then I got it out of my head. I'm like, whoa.
So when do you start taking custom helmet build orders?
As soon as people start asking. But yeah, they're fun to do. I kind of have ideas for other stuff. Me and Jim are, we have a bunch of characters that we're working on.
Hang on a second. Jim who?
Oh, Jim from Morlock Enterprises.
Thank you.
So we're in the midst of developing a toy company, and eventually we're gonna have our own characters and stuff. And when we get them, we know a few cosplayers, and I want to do some helmet builds and send them to them. So like, all right, I need you to wander around a convention as our character for a couple
There you
hours.
go.
So, but yeah, I got the helmet bug. I think the next one I want to try to do is like a Kamen Rider of some kind.
Makes sense.
I don't know if I'm gonna do a like a foam build or like a plastic
Do
resin
it,
build or something like that. I'm not
dude.
sure.
Do a 3D print and make that classic Kamen Rider helmet that you love so.
Oh yeah, the old school one.
Yeah, that has to be the one. Because that's the one that deserves the foos fade and all your candy techniques and
Oh,
all your.
that's true.
Oh, see, that's what I'm saying, man. Because that's the sort of thing that you would comfortably be able to put on like a foam head bust and then just mount in your studio or above your fireplace or.
Yeah, I like doing the custom fades and the candies and extra shine to them. Like, I think if I would do custom orders, I would wanna stipulate that I would paint it up like a hot rod. 'Cause I mean, there are plenty of prop builders out there that are doing like show accurate stuff.
Fuck that.
And like the 501st, the Star Wars cosplayers are
Yeah.
doing like, it has to be show accurate and blah blah blah.
Fuck
And
you.
I would wanna do like, put some pinstripes on it or some ghost flames. Ghost flames, if you are unfamiliar with the term, it's a hot rod flame job, spraying with like iridescent flake clear job so that it doesn't look, if you look straight on the paint, it doesn't look like anything, but if you tilt it a little bit and it goes in the sun, that it reflects as, and you can see the flame ghosting in the sunlight. So I would do that kind of dumb shit.
Honestly, Jamie, I think another thing you might be able to reach out and do would be custom actual like skateboard or motorcycle helmets.
Oh yeah.
And just do paint.
Yeah, that'd be cool. I need to find a studio where I can actually shoot proper clear coats or get somebody to clear them for me.
or build a booth.
Build a booth out in the backyard.
Pop up tent, man.
Yeah, that's a good idea. So yeah, I mean, I had a lot of fun. I want to do more, like more props yes. and armors and stuff.
Yes.
The armor stuff was actually really easy compared to the helmets because it was all foam. I did Audrey's Green Ranger thing in a night. I did right. my thing in a night. So.
Right on. They look damn good, sir. Look damn good.
Thank you. So we are not going to talk about Roman Reigns tonight.
No, we're not.
Because that was a big fucking downer. So we've run out of topics that you and I initially came up with.
I was going to ask, are we out of shit to talk about?
Way back in the day. So I'm going to the list that our friend of the show, Grig, newly married Grig, sent over.
Congratulations, Grig and Gaddy.
And number one on his list is Apple products.
Okay. All right. I have a feeling he's going to be pissed he's not involved in this conversation.
Well, I guess the idea is that our show is all about trying to unfuck a thing. And
okay.
And in some respects, Apple products are way up their own ass. In some respects, they work.
Yeah. Like, no. I think there is an argument to be made that they work.
Right. They work. Like
they are maybe not as competitive in certain markets as others, but I think based on just clear functionality of does the thing do it what it says it does? Yes.
Yes.
And I think based on the crowd participation, especially speaking of the iPhone, it's the daddy. And we should be totally clear, Jamie. I am wearing an Apple Watch. I have an iPhone. I am speaking to you on a MacBook Pro. You are rocking a Mac. So I have an iPad sitting next to me. So I am an Apple fan. Mm-hmm. The only things I haven't adhered to is the HomePod thing that they've been talking about, whatever the fuck it is. And I do not have an Apple TV yet.
Are you going to get an Apple TV, my friend?
Yeah, I think so, because I had been an early adopter of Roku products for my television.
Yeah.
When I had set up my office in the basement, I was looking for a cheap, quick option. I bought an Amazon Fire Stick. The remote went up on me about 3 weeks ago. I've been fighting with the thing using the app. The app's not great. The stick still functions, but the remote's not great. And I keep telling myself, if I'm just going to upgrade, I should just upgrade. And I'll just probably end up getting the 4K Apple TV. So this way, when I end up upgrading my television, I won't have to buy a new Apple TV as well.
Wow.
Well, I mean, you're talking about the price difference is like $30 in between the regular Apple TV and the Apple TV with 4K. So right. I shouldn't be dumb about $40 where I'm going to end up having to spend it again anyway.
Yeah.
So, so admittedly, you and I are both fans of the Apple product, and I'm not sure whether for you, if it was a, like, from a design perspective, all of the designers and all of the proper graphics programs and everything else, like, it seemed to gravitate toward Mac, and I don't know if it was, like, an early hipster sort of thing or whatever it is, but I always remembered, like, that being kind of the bread and butter of, like, if you were doing video or audio or graphics or whatever, like, arts-related, Mac was where it was fucking at.
Maybe. Like in the 80s and maybe early 90s that was the case, but there was a split, like when Steve left the company, when Steve was forced out of the company the first time,
right.
Apple started coming out with these boxy computers that looked like pieces of shit.
You could
barely upgrade them. OS 9 really sucked. OS yeah. no OS 8 sucked. OS 9 was a little bit better, but OS 8 was terrible. So, like, if you were running more than one program and one of those programs crashed, your entire computer crashed, then you'd be fucked and you would lose a ton of work. So, like, during that first initial ouster, that's when Apple stopped supporting the art community as much as they had been, and a lot of them started picking up PCs. So by the time Steve came back, working solely on a Mac for a designer or for an illustrator wasn't a thing anymore. By then, like, they had lost us, and they stopped giving a shit about designers. Like, they stopped making towers that people could upgrade. Well, they've never made a tower that you can upgrade as easily as a PC.
That has always been true. Yes.
So I mean, you know, they've completely abandoned the prosumer illustrator market, and even the video editors aren't using Apple workstations as much anymore, because, you know, for a while Final Cut Pro was the editing suite for video, and now people are just doing other shit. They're using Avid, they're using Premiere, they're using a whole bunch of other stuff. So, like, I don't know, they don't give a shit about me as a customer.
Okay.
They are much more interested in the general, the wide base. Like, when the candy colored IMAX came out, that's when they started getting, like, college kids and high school kids, and that was where their money is at, because unfortunately, an artist, once they get locked into a certain way of doing things, that's the way they do the thing. They don't necessarily want to buy new shit. If it works, it'll work. So, like, their early Macs were built so well that you'd have an artist stick with it for like 5 years instead of upgrading through that cycle. So, I mean, for an artist, it doesn't make sense to go with an Apple product unless it's an iPad and you're looking to do some digital drawing and things like that.
This is where the argument is, because right now I'm thinking of every artist that I personally know. You use a Mac. Ross Nover uses the Mac.
Isn't an artist.
Whatever, he does web design, and he has people on there that do graphics.
Yeah.
So our own one, Michael Bracco, uses his Mac specifically. A lot of the artists that we know, a lot of the tattoo artists that I know, all use iPads or iPad Pros to do a lot of their design work and do templates and what have you. So, like, I have you okay over there?
Yeah, my stand is a little messed. Ah, here we go. There we go.
So I find it a little hard to believe that they've lost all of them, because honestly, I think artists gravitate to things that are aesthetically pleasing, and the Macs fucking look good.
If you're looking at studios in Hollywood, and that's where the, like, our friends are artists, but our friends don't spend a whole lot of money on software or hardware or things that would make a dent in the product line for like a major corporation. So, like, the big studios are running like HP stations.
And it
used to be all of those places were like heavy into the Apple ecosphere. Like, they had the MacBook Pros, they had the towers, they had all that stuff all integrated with the Apple branded softwares, and that's not the case anymore. Like, the larger studios don't give a shit because they can't upgrade them. You know, you have to buy a whole new machine. Whereas, like, if you buy a tower, just stick in new parts, you know, when new parts come available and stuff.
Okay, but let's be honest here. At this point now, selling iPhones and selling MacBooks to people like you and I are far more profitable for them than selling full server stations to studios or whatever it is, because there's frankly just more of us there and volume wins.
That's true.
So let's not pretend there. So let's try and figure out, okay, so what are the main Apple issues? Not able to upgrade. It's a fucking pain in the ass.
Right.
And that's true of especially things like the MacBooks and stuff like that. To be able to add more memory, because Jesus Christ, the new operating systems are just destroying the memory.
Yeah.
I refuse to upgrade because I think the newest update's going to cripple my Mac.
Yeah. And if you wanted to upgrade to a solid state hard drive, you can't. I mean, like, you'd have to crack it open and, like, you know, find someone who can do it for you. Whereas, like, if you had a PC, just pop on a couple screws, unplug it, plug in the new shit, and you're good to go.
Yeah. So there is an issue that I have there, especially, and I swear that's all tied into their way of making money on service using the Genius Bar.
Right.
If you make it as difficult as possible to get into the thing, then you intimidate the casual person like me who has upgraded memory in his old laptops that were PC, has changed hard drives over to solid state, has done all those things. So I totally get that. And yeah. And I think there's room for both of them. But okay, so the first thing would be upgradability.
Yes, that's a big
thing. Even if it was just like a hard drive slot that you could get to and a some sort of like upgradable memory slot that you could actually like be able to access. And I'll say this, I don't think they're ever going to listen, but if anyone gets the word, I'll spend $100 on a fucking tool that lets me safely open the MacBook.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I'm fine with that. I'll buy the tool. I'll buy it strictly from Apple. I'll go into the store. I will stand in the weird line. I'll find some associate in a matching t-shirt. I'll high five him. I'll do the whole thing so that I can have the tool so then I can go home and I can upgrade the memory. Mm-hmm. But that's a pain in the ass that they don't even really give me that option. And I'm sure that there is an option. It's fucking overpriced versus a PC.
Yeah.
So, like, I am still to this day debating getting a home tower to basically handle all of the regular stuff. And I was thinking about turning it into, like, one part media center and one part just, like, home PC that I could just upgrade and just go hard with the thing. But, again, I go back to, like, aesthetically, right now, my MacBook's the only working computer I have. I fucking like it. Like, I like traveling with it. It feels good. But that also gets back to the next problem. You and I don't have the new ones.
No.
And I know for me, I purposely bought a refurbished one because I wanted USB ports.
Yes. I like my USBs. I also don't give a shit about the touch strip. Because, and this is a dumb reason to hate the touch strip, they don't have a theremin built into the touch strip.
Nerd.
And every dumb operating system has their stupid thing. Like, Windows has Minesweeper and FreeCell. You put a touch strip on your computer, it's got to have a theremin built in. It's got to have that one dumb fucking thing for, like, your two-year-old kid to just go up and go, da-da-da-da-da-da.
I genuinely think that's why they don't have it, because they don't want your fucking greasy two-year-old to be touching that expensive piece of equipment.
That's true.
Yeah, I keep your fucking children away from my MacBook. That's my general rule. Anyway, I don't want to have to carry around 19 dongles.
Yes.
And the idea of having one USB port on a computer that cost me upwards of $2,000 is ridiculous.
Yeah, I really hate that. I really hate that.
Right now, I've got, what do I have? Two FireWires, two USBs, an HDMI, an audio input, and an SD card slot. And that is plenty thin enough for me.
Yeah.
It's still light enough to travel around with. It still aesthetically looks great. So, like, come on, guys. Really? Or, you know what? Hang on. Do they have – I'm now going to be that guy checking real quick. Is there a docking station for the MacBook?
You have to – it's a third party. Like, all the docking stations are third party things that you
have to. Okay, so why not a docking station? Like, let's assume that we understand that, you know, you're going to work with this thing properly in an office setting, right? Why wouldn't Apple develop a smooth, great-looking docking station that would give you – all of those things?
That's a good question. I don't understand. I think they want to be ahead of the curve, but like,
right, but if you're going to remove those things and you're going to try and stay competitive in a small business market or a large business market or even just a home market, the idea of people working from their homes and using Macs is pretty standard right now. The Mac is kind of the go-to for the freelancer that I can tell. Mm-hmm. And, you know, for people my age, aesthetically, I want the light, cool laptop that I know is going to work and I can go take it to the place. Like, it's almost like Mac has become the CarMax of computer stuff, where, like, I don't have to think about it. Like, I take the thing to the dealership, they
works.
Fucking handle it. Right, yeah, it works,
just
works, it's fine, I don't have to. Right, so, like, especially in our generation now, we don't want to fucking deal with it. Like, there's a subset of us who really want to fucking deal with
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And really want to dig into it. And those people will always be there. They're your tinkerers. And I'm not saying that isn't an option. But there has to be some sort of like a $300 adapter bay thing that you just nest the MacBook into and it has all those things. Fuck, you want to get real fancy with it? You use just that touch sensitivity thing or whatever it is where it cradles vertically in the thing and then all the ports are along the sides. Or like you could come up with an aesthetically great looking piece that would let users be able to plug everything into the thing. It wouldn't have to take up a ton of real estate. It would look proprietary and it would fucking work. And I guarantee you'd sell them gangbusters. I didn't even know that there was an option for a third party because I've never bothered to look. Because in my head, that's why I didn't spend the money on the more expensive laptop. Mm-hmm. I had budgeted for an even more expensive laptop than what I got and realized that I was going to lose all the USB ports and bought a refurbished one that they stopped making.
Yeah.
Because I didn't want to fucking deal with that. I purposely bought old technology so that I didn't lose the functionality.
I wonder what the philosophy is behind that. Because it was a big deal when MacBooks stopped carrying disk drives. Like the CDs. I remember that was a big deal and like I got pissed. This fucking thing doesn't have a disk drive.
Mine doesn't either. I bought a third party one.
Yeah. And so like... they're right in that regard, but I guess the thought is because of the prevalence of things like Dropbox or Amazon storage or whatever, all these cloud storages, that the need for external devices is going away. But
yeah, but then I've got to plug 19 things into the blue. Like I've got to do 19 things Bluetooth.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I've got to carry all these extra batteries. And like there's something aesthetically nice about the classic Mac keyboard. Mm-hmm. Like I use one now. It's a rock solid piece of equipment. It feels good. It's steady. It constantly works, but it uses USB. Mm-hmm. So then I've got to plug it. My mouse dongle into the side of it because I refuse to use the MacBook mouse.
I've got a gamer keyboard.
Yeah. Yeah. I've got the old school hotness or whatever it is. But like for like mice, for example, I had the Apple Magic Mouse.
Oh,
it's crap.
Oh, I hate that.
It's fucking crap. So like I went out and I bought the Logitech MX Master Mouse, which, by the way, if you find this thing in like the slate blue, is one of the sexiest things. Okay, gamer mouse. That makes sense for you. Of course you do.
It's so stupid.
Right. But that's the thing is both of your pieces of equipment use cables.
Yes. Yes.
So you've got, that's two USB ports right there. So then you've, I'm sure, got at least one external hard drive, if not more.
That's what's recording all this stuff.
Right. You've got your microphone. So that's four. Mm-hmm. So I guarantee you've got at least one dongle.
Yeah. Well, my Cintiq has... So my MacBook has two USB ports.
Right.
My Cintiq has three.
Okay.
So I got the keyboard and the mouse running into the Cintiq and the microphone running into the Cintiq.
So basically you have a super expensive dongle.
We couldn't podcast without all of this shit.
Right.
I don't have enough space to
podcast. And I'm not saying that they're like... There isn't a point to that, but like a casual user being able to plug in just a keyboard, mouse, and monitor mm-hmm. into a Mac and be able to just rock and roll with it
yeah.
is not an option for a MacBook Air.
Yeah. Yeah, you need a dongle and you need all that other stuff. And the other thing about the storage, iCloud has apparently been down for a couple of hours or something like that.
Oh, really?
Like,
okay.
People have not been able to access their iCloud. So, like,
that's fun.
Whenever any one of these cloud storage systems fails on you, you're fucked.
Right. Well, also, for as much as I trust Apple above quite a few others for security stuff, I want a physical copy of things. Mm-hmm. All of my files, my media stuff, everything that I have... is I have one hard drive, one external hard drive that lives on my desk. I have a second external hard drive that I back up once a week, and then I lock in a fireproof safe. Like, I don't want to deal with the like, and I have the cloud on top of that, but like, I want that physical copy because what if I'm without internet access? What if I'm in some sort of weird situation where I need to have access to this stuff? Mm-hmm. I can grab my external hard drive right now and bug the fuck out. Like, and maybe I'm weird that way, but like, I still come from the generation. I'm using the field notes thing. I like a physical thing. Mm-hmm. Like, it gives me peace of mind. As silly as that sounds, it gives me peace of mind.
I wonder if we're old.
No, we're totally old. And I get that. But like, I think with age comes a desire for functionality.
Yeah.
Much like as you get older, you start to realize that while I want a fucking sports car, I want something small and chuckable and fast and rear-wheel drive and lights the tires up and is fucking ridiculous. It is not a commuting vehicle. It is not a family vehicle. It is not a daily vehicle. So there's an understanding of you can't have this thing. Like, race car doesn't fit all things. Mm-hmm. Apple right now, the way that they design their laptops, aren't fitting all things. People are basically strapping other shit to it to make it work.
Right.
And that's where it bothers me. Like, I want to have some sort of option. Either make the iPad capable enough that we can get rid of the MacBook Air and we can go back to a more functional version of the Mac. Like, is there not an option for, like, a Mac business?
I don't know. That's a good question.
Like a new version of the MacBook Pro that is, you know, it sacrifices weight for stability or usability, because I think in a more business setting, you would be willing to haul around an extra pounds worth of laptop mm-hmm. if you got an HDMI port, multiple USB ports, and the ability to have an SD card reader.
Yeah. SD card like, reader is amazing.
Right. So like that's, I think me sacrificing that extra, now it's I think 2 pounds, but mm-hmm. I'm a big boy. I think I can haul around an extra 2 pounds in my bag.
It is weird because I feel like the Pro is marketed for the Pro, and I feel like the professional user still needs that functionality. Like, still needs all those external devices. Like, if you're editing movies, you need a bunch of external devices for controlling editing, but also like color correction. Testing monitors and all this other stuff. I think the way that they're selling the MacBook Pro now is maybe for like the regular user where they don't necessarily need all that.
That's totally what they're doing.
Yeah, and I don't understand why they call it a Pro anymore, because if they're just taking away stuff,
because it feels elite.
Yeah.
It feels elite, and they can get more money out of it. Because realistically, the average home computer user at this point now could get away with literally an iPad with a proper keyboard.
Right, and I think that's a good market to hit, and I think they have that. But if they're gonna call something a Pro, it should have Pro features. It should be able to be upgradable. I should be able to swap in whatever hard drive I want. I should be able to upgrade my RAM up to a point. Like, I understand, yeah. You know, I don't necessarily need access to the motherboard to swap out the chips and all
yeah.
that kind of shit.
Yeah, yeah, like, I think hard drive and memory. I should be able to upgrade it in a similar way to most PC users and be able to be competitive in that sense.
Yeah, and I got to have a USB 3 somewhere on my board. I've got to have an HDMI somewhere on my board.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like their vision of the prosumer is not what it actually is.
It's not a professional consumer. That's the whole point, I think, of it is it's a lot of flash and not a lot else.
Yeah.
And people are starting to inadvertently realize how little PC they actually need. Because mm-hmm. for a while, there was like a fucking arms race.
Oh, yeah.
to have like the most powerful, ridiculous, yada, 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 yada. Like,
yeah.
I remember, what was it like? 2009 to like 2011, maybe, like, it got straight competitive where like the chips were upgrading constantly and it was just getting out of hand.
Yeah. Well, the one thing that they haven't talked about in ages is the Mac. Like, there hasn't been a they talk about the iMac all the time, and I don't, you know, it's fine, it's whatever, it does what it does, but the Mac Pro, like the consumer desk, the prosumer, the professional desktop thing that is supposed to answer all of the professional artists or media person or designer, graphics person, effects artist, that was supposed to answer all of those the desires from that market, because I think it was sometime last year they were saying, like, we recognize that we're not answering this market that we used to have a corner on, and so we're going to come out with this thing, and it was supposed to happen sometime this year, but we haven't heard shit about that.
No.
And I was really disappointed, because the last Mac Pro they had was that trash can looking thing that you can only upgrade to a point, but now the chips in the MacBook Pros are much faster than what that trash can thing has, and they haven't upgraded that in ages.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. I literally just hopped on the website. That's why my connection got a little poor, because it's, you know, yes. Because Mac, and it tears up a ton of memory. This is fucking how this works.
I blame Adobe products for that.
But, you know, like, they still have the Mac Mini as an option. I remember when I swooned over a Mac Mini.
Mini's great for, like, a entertainment center, I think.
Right. But it's too expensive to turn it into to a like, media PC.
Right.
I'd go with something cheaper.
Yeah.
Because that's the thing is, that especially, I would go with something that I could upgrade and easily swap out the hard drives and easily upgrade the memory, because why the fuck wouldn't I?
Yeah. Well, and now they have, like, USB PCs.
Yeah.
I mean, like, the mini is a vanity project that goes nowhere. That like, you can get better stuff. The same form figure. So if you like that square, you can get a case that has that square, but you can kit it out with much better shit.
Yeah. Yeah. I think maybe that's our big hang up right now is functionality. Mm-hmm. The ability to expand, for the love of God. Mm-hmm. What else? I'm sure some people are going to complain about their gatekeeper policy as far as applications and software go.
Right.
I'm personally kind of okay with that, because I like the fact that I don't really get in any trouble downloading anything from the Apple Store.
Yeah.
And from iTunes, like,
well, iTunes is a disaster.
It is.
Ugh.
But at the same time, I'm not worried about some sort of, like, backdoor virus sneaking its way into my shit.
Right.
So
I
think
Wild West on Android.
Yeah. So, like, there's something to be argued there of, like, really being able to trust my iPhone.
Yeah.
Which I'm sure somebody's going to call me a fucking idiot for that, and I probably am, and that's fine. Yeah. But the illusion of safety right now, at the very least, makes me comfortable and lets me sleep at night, and that's really what matters. And I know the fucking thing's listening to me all the time, and I you know, whatever. Yeah. Like, I can't get away from any of that shit.
Yeah.
We covered all that shit in the Facebook episode. But, yeah, like, I think that's got to be the whole thing. Oh, the other thing. Why the fuck did it take so long to make this thing waterproof?
Oh, yeah. I don't know.
Because, like, there were old Android phones that had the regular, like, headphone jack that were fucking waterproof before. It ain't the headphone jack.
Yeah, I don't know.
So, the fuck, Apple?
I don't know.
I don't understand why. Like, luckily, I had never been a victim of, like, the toilet fall. But I like, wow.
That seems like a generation 2 or 3 at the very latest.
Yeah. Like, that could have been something to completely pull people away from Android products if you could have came out with that early.
Yeah.
Like, the second the Android phone came out on the market, the Droid came out, whatever it is, like, people started moving away from Blackberries and was like, I'm going to go to an iPhone, I'm going to go to an Android, because I don't want to think the Apple things. And then Apple could have been like, hey, idiot, ever drop your phone in the toilet? Ever left it out in the rain? Ever been splashed or accidentally jumped in the pool? Buy an Apple product. You're going to be fine.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the only thing I can think is they purposely didn't do it to get more sales on that fucking Genius Bar.
I think that's it. Like, I think their business model is built around people not knowing what they have.
And oh yeah, totally. It's actually a service company. I don't even think at this point they're actually really a product company.
Yeah.
I think it's 50-50 now. I think it's half products and half service. And that's really where they are, is that Genius Bar, I am convinced, makes bank.
Yeah. There's always a line.
There's constantly a line. You have to schedule an appointment. You have to do it on their terms. There's no fucking arguing with anybody. Mm-hmm. They have the ability to turn anybody away. And whatever they tell you the cost is going to be, you're stuck with.
Yeah. There's always a line. There's always people right there. You don't know any better to say no.
No. Yeah, right. And they
you
go,
can't.
Right. And they 99% of the things, they pull a straight Wizard of Oz. They go behind the curtain. They tell you go wander around the mall for an hour or two or whatever it is, and then come back and everything's magically fine. They don't do anything in front of you.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, I think that's really the secret. And frankly, I'm fucking jealous because it's genius. Like, that's the fucking genius part of the bar. It's not that they fix your shit. It's that they've managed to basically become like the Wizard of Oz when it comes to computer shit.
You know, that's true, because even the prosumer clients have to go to the Apple store. Like, I have to go to the Apple store every once in a while to pick up extra shit so I can plug in my other shit.
Right.
I have to have the right type of adapter. I have to have this thing. If I want to do a demo for a class, I have to have this type of adapter. Like,
yeah,
I constantly have to go to this fucking store.
People who we know who run their businesses or their small businesses or whatever it is, if there's a problem with a Mac, someone has to schedule an appointment and has to go stand in line at a mall or a standalone Apple store and play the game.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably like, and you know what the funny thing is, and somebody's going to probably want to just beat me about the head for it. I'm not even mad about that. I'm fucking jealous I didn't think of it.
It's working.
Right, because it totally works. And like, for as much as I could bitch and complain about it, I like that you can't argue to a certain point, because they completely, at least for the most part in my personal experience, they've eliminated the I need to speak to your manager people.
Mm-hmm.
Because they can strictly have a policy of, ma'am, corporate states, this is our policy, I apologize, you're welcome to try and go and get it serviced at a third party store, but you're going to be voiding your warranty. If you'd like to do this, this is the timeline for it, this is the cost for it, would you like to do it or not? Mm-hmm. And then if she gets all buck wild, there's always a fucking off-duty cop standing in the Apple store.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, how the fuck do you steal anything in that place?
There have been a bunch of examples of people like jacking thousands of dollars worth of gear.
Really?
Yeah. There. If you go
like
online,
everything is so open. Like, it is the definition of trying to steal something in one of those open flow office things.
Mm-hmm.
I hate those. But yeah, like, I couldn't imagine, because everybody can fucking see what you're doing.
Yeah, you just catch them at the right time. Like, there and they have video footage of like mobs of people just swarming in, walking out, and
that the mob thing I've seen happen. So I used to do loss prevention, and that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
But like, shy of that, I don't know how one just kind of goes around and just swipes some shit off the shelves at an Apple store.
Magic.
I guess. Fuck. Yeah, here I was working with cardboard. I should have been fucking, like, doing card tricks. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just walking by the fucking off-duty cop. Mind freak. And then just stealing a fucking MacBook. Mind freak.
Yeah, I don't know.
I feel like we haven't really improved anything.
We haven't improved it, because the two changes that we want, upgradability and more ports, are directly counter to their business model.
Yep.
Because if we can service our machines,
then the Genius Bar goes away and they
Genius
lose.
Genius Bar goes away. Yeah.
Right. Could we find some sort of middle ground, and could the Genius Bar offer like a hot rod shop?
I it would be interesting to see if there was like another tier, because okay, guitars.
Here we
go. I love guitars.
Yep.
In general, if you're a guitar player, you don't want to mess with it. You don't want to mess with the trestle rod. You don't want to install your own pickups. You don't want to do any of this stuff.
Nope.
However, if you do want to do all that stuff, you can buy aftermarket parts. You can buy you can buy upgraded, you can buy new necks from Fender, you can buy pickups from Fender, specific pickups, and then you can wire them yourself, or you can take them to a guitar shop, and a guitar repair shop. The Chuck Levin's repair shop is amazing, and they'll do it for you. But they offer that service to you. So like PRS, they do the same thing. If you want to upgrade your pickups to like the Dragon or the 405 or whatever latest ones, you can buy a set of pickups from PRS and install them yourself.
Yeah.
So if Apple had a similar service where like, you know, you can order the hard drive from them, and you can either take it to the Genius Bar and they'll install it for you, or you can crack it open and install it yourself.
I don't think that's a fair one-for-one comparison. You're comparing some a couple pieces of metal hard screwed into things with some wires bolted to a hunk of wood versus a potentially, jokingly, I'm sure, hermetically sealed brushed aluminum piece of equipment that requires a serious amount of education to be able to be like, yeah, but, repair and do properly.
But the thing is, they at least allow you the opportunity to do so. Like,
I'm not arguing that, and I think there is a third party for that. I'm sure we could Google and find MacBook parts and a YouTube tutorial on how to pull this thing apart and upgrade the memory. Right. I'm sure it's doable if I got the will. What I'm looking for is a step in the middle, in between, well, you can buy a new piece of equipment, or, well, you can crack the thing open yourself, void your warranty, and, like, almost the equivalency of, like, jailbreaking your MacBook. So,
like a custom shop, maybe?
Literally like a hot rod shop.
Yeah.
You just make it very clear. Here were the original requirements for whatever it is. You know, I bought the MacBook Pro. I didn't buy the one with the most memory. I didn't buy the one with the largest hard drive because it wasn't available, or I didn't have the money at the time, whatever the reason being. I now find myself in a financial situation where I'd like to have more storage and I'd like to have an internal. Mm-hmm. I could spend X number of dollars on an external hard drive, plug it into the Mac and solve my problem that way, which they sell in their store, or I could drop it off at the Genius Bar, pay them $60 to have them install a, I don't know, $400 solid state drive that they sell proprietary, and they install it themselves. It's under warranty. It's done by the Genius Bar. I'm paying their retail price for the actual thing. They don't install even genuine Apple parts unless they order them, mm-hmm. because they can't verify everything. And then they literally just log those parts on and tie it right to the serial number with your MacBook, and you know that it doesn't void your warranty. And you literally make it almost like a like genuine OEM upgrade of parts. Yeah, you know, when you buy a Mercedes, there's an AMG division, and you can buy AMG parts to bolt to your existing car that still are under factory warranty, that are done by a factory technician, that don't necessarily require you to buy a new car, but the reality is if you want to go twice as fast, you have to buy a fucking new car.
Right.
And that's kind of where they are, because right now I think Mac users are just kind of suffering through and not having the top tier stuff because the price point to get in is more expensive too, because we are all paying the Apple tax.
Yeah. I love the idea of a custom shop, like a, you know, like a Fender custom shop, or like a Gibson custom shop, or PRS custom shop, like having an Apple custom shop. Like if I wanted more memory and I wanted it on board, I would definitely pay for that. Like instead of, it would put me from upgrading it for like a year or two.
Right. But ultimately you're going to have to buy the new MacBook.
But yeah, eventually you have to buy the new MacBook.
You're going to have to buy the new MacBook, because that's the other thing people should bear in mind too. Guitars, you're still using a guitar from the 60s. Cars, even, you're still using that classic stuff. These computers have a shelf life of 5 years, tops. So if someone spent, let's just pick a round number, $2,000 on a MacBook, and then spent an additional $400 upgrading the memory, and then a year later then spent another $2,000 or $2,600 now at this point to get the equivalent, then they were going to spend the $2,600 anyway, but they got the $400 in between to pace them through.
Yeah.
So there's no reason not to to offer that.
Yeah, I mean, and that's extra money because they're paying more for the $2,600 computer for the upgrade. But in the meantime, you know, that $400 tied them over to like the next year's upgrade would only be like $2,200.
Right.
They skipped that with the $400 and they bought the $2,600, which is more money in the end.
Right, so but you're still spending fucking $2,600, but now you've actually really spent $3,000.
Right.
Once you factor in the upgrades that you spent on the other one, it's a Band-Aid to fix the problem. In the meantime, it's the whole thing of, I probably should buy a new car, but I have to get this car serviced so that I can get back and forth to work and get things going in the meantime.
It's a DLC.
Am I spending I'm spending money right now to get me to the point where I can spend more money? And it sounds counterintuitive, but people make financial decisions based on what they have available at the time. Mm-hmm. And knowing the trends that are happening right now, people don't have savings. They're charging everything. And genuinely, being able to go, fuck it, I can't spend this right now. I can drop $400. I can throw that on the card and I can pay that off over the next like 3 months or whatever it is, and it won't be that big of a deal. And this will keep me going for another year. And in the meantime, I'll start putting some coin away so I can take a nice hunk out of buying a new MacBook because I know I'm going to need it.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not leaving the product. If you're an Apple fan, you're a fucking Apple fan. You just are. Mm-hmm. You're not going to be – it's going to be a hard day for me to be dissuaded away from an Apple product. There's a good chance it's going to happen, but it's going to take a while.
Yeah.
So I think maybe that's got to be the big one, Jamie.
Yeah.
Upgradeability.
Custom
I'll shop. Give up the fucking – the USB port, though, honestly, genuinely, guys, a docking station would be fucking sweet. A docking station for a professional to be able to just throw the thing into and give you all of your dongles and USB ports, and that lets you guys get more money on top of everything. You still get your super, like, pound and a half iPad with your keyboard or whatever it is, and they give them the ability to do everything else.
Yeah.
And it gives us the ability to upgrade everything, and you still control everything. I still go to the Genius Bar. I still talk to the Genius guys. I still pay the tax. I still pay your retail prices for everything. And if things continue to work together the way that they have in the past, I'll continue to spend fucking, like, because I'm debating it now, $400 on my goddamn upgraded watch because I have an Apple Watch 2, and they finally got to the Apple Watch 4. So I'm very seriously debating that come the fall when my thing is up for this phone. I know I'm going to go to the newest version of iPhone. That's how I do it. Like, we basically, a lot of us fucking underworld this shit. We leapfrog it. Like, that's the idea. I don't buy every version of iPhone. I buy every other version of iPhone.
Right.
That's how this fucking works. So,
yeah.
Let's not pretend here. Apple, I'm going to continue buying your shit so long as you don't make the entry point so expensive I can't afford it, or so much of a pain in the ass that I just stop bothering.
Yeah. And that's, I think there's, they've locked enough of us into their ecosystem. It wouldn't be hard to just treat the consumer better, you know, just give them the options to upgrade things, give them what they want instead of having to force behaviors that.
Let us breathe a little bit.
Yeah.
Just a little bit. I don't think I'm asking for anything completely unrealistic. I recognize your business model. I respect it. I have no problems with it. I'll play the game. I'm cool with that. Give me a little bit.
Kitten.
And I'll spend money.
Yeah.
But give me a little bit.
Yeah, I agree with that. Apple Custom Shop.
Yeah, Apple Custom Shop.
Apple Custom Shop. And it's got to have that, like, custom logo painted on. I want like a hand lettered. Oh, see your pet play. It's Molly will play. Mittens will come up to me and then just run the fuck away. Where'd you go, Mittens? There you are. Come here, Mittens.
How heavy is yours?
I don't know.
Yeah.
10 pounds.
Oh, okay. I was gonna say mine's a solid 48. So. Yeah.
I don't know how much cats weighs. 5 pounds?
Who's my beefy girl?
Yeah.
Who's my beefy girl? That's right.
All right. Well, yeah. I don't know what else we want from Apple.
I think that's
I
a
think that's it.
fair, yeah, I think that's a fair way to handle that. And it's probably not going to be far enough, and I'm sure there's going to be a lot of people that are like, fuck Apple, blah, 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 blah. If you have comments and hate me for being an Apple fanboy or whatever it is, keep that shit to yourself. I don't fucking care. Seriously, like I genuinely don't. I can say this with confidence. I say this about a lot of things. You're not going to change my mind about a product that I've been using for forever. You might be able to talk me into something better at some point along the way, but I ain't ready to spend that kind of money right now. And if I respected your opinion enough that I actually wanted it when it came time to buy tech stuff, I would fucking reach out to you anytime and use this as a guideline, kids. If you're like, I should tell the person about something. No. Unless someone is genuinely going to buy something absolutely ridiculous that they should not buy because you have a better financial option for cheaper that is as good or better, genuinely as good or better, and you can scientifically back that, keep that shit to yourself. Also, when it comes to reaching out to people, also remember, you only have the ability to make a lateral suggestion or a downward suggestion. If you are shouting at a celebrity, stop it. Stop it.
Stop it.
Seriously.
Stop it.
God damn it. I'm going to try and make the internet better one day at a time, Jimmy Noguchi. I really am. I promise you.
Stop
Like, Jason Momoa, in all his beauty, is not interested in your fucking suggestions on what phone he should be buying.
it.
He does not give a fuck. Genuinely doesn't. Like, he's drinking Guinness and someone's reading his phone to him. He's too beautiful to carry an iPhone.
My
Someone
man.
carries it for him. Yeah, like that's the idea. I guarantee you, he has like loose change, an eyeglass screwdriver, two cans of two like tall boys of Guinness, and a hatchet. Like that's what he carries around on him. He has social media, but he hires somebody for that shit.
Oh yeah, he's too busy
Yeah.
having fun.
Yeah, dude never takes a selfie for a fucking reason.
Living his best life.
Yeah, like that's the idea. When you're constantly drunk and gorgeous, you don't have the ability to, like, a selfie stick? No, like, unless he's duct taping an iPhone to the end of an axe, that's the only selfie stick he operates.
Oh my
Be
God.
more like Jason Momoa. That's you know, fuck it, that's the takeaway, Jamie.
Be more
You know how
like
we can,
Jason Momoa.
yeah,
That's how you fix
you know how we're
Apple.
gonna fix Apple? Right. Be more like Jason Momoa. That's fuck it. You know what? We're gonna gather together every week, and that's what we're gonna do. We're gonna come up with a topic, and then we're gonna end it the same way. How do you solve Gibson guitars? Be more like
Or
Jason
Jason
Momoa.
Momoa.
Yeah. How do you solve social media? Be more like Jason Momoa. It never fucking stops. It's never the wrong answer. Ever. Swear to God, I'm gonna find out that like I read something and he did something terrible to somebody, and I'm gonna end up having to walk this back on the internet. I
Well, I
know
hope
it.
not. I hope not. He's so
Oh,
good.
God damn it. I know. Please, you perfect, beautiful baby, don't ever ruin this for me. Golden God. Anyway.
All right. Well, that's it for this
Yep.
episode.
Yep. Basement's flooded. All right.
If you want to hit us up with new topics, it's info at fuckingdoitcast.com.
Yep.
Brandon, where can people find you?
They can find me on Instagram at that guy Chalmers. You can find me on Facebook, Brandon Chalmers. You can find Super Art Fight at superartfight.com. That's also where they can find you, Jay Miniguchi. They can find us locally in Baltimore, coming up on not September, not October, not November. Oh, there it is, December 15th, at the Auto Bar, for a holiday hootenanny. We're doing a holiday festivus for the rest of us. So that'll be a yep. And then Jamie Noguchi, obviously they can find you on something, but where can they find that potentially upgrading and updating comic of yours?
Oh yeah, ypcomic.com.
Ooh, that sounds like a
Updating
place to do.
Every Tuesday until I run into something else. But yes, for now, updating every Tuesday. So,
I love the honesty that is Jimmy
I
Noguchi.
mean,
Like,
I
I'm gonna
try.
upgrade it, update it until something fucking comes up. So,
Yeah, I mean,
read it for a while.
I try. I do.
Actually, you've been statistically way better than basically any other webcomic person I know of when it comes to updating. So,
It doesn't help any, but sure.
look, man, someone's got to realize that reliability matters.
I hope. We'll see.
Look, man, as your audience ages and they start to realize this, the hot, shifty guy is less interesting and the dads are way more attractive. Reliability matters. Yeah. Not everybody needs a supercar. Some people just want a Honda that starts every day.
Yeah, that's true.
That's what you are, Jay Minoguchi.
I'm a Honda.
Yeah, you're the Honda in my heart.
The Honda of webcomics.
The Honda of webcomics, which is probably semi-racist to suggest, considering it's an Asian-American office romance. But fuck it. This is how white guys trip themselves into racism. This is... This has been another episode of White Dude Can't Shut the Fuck Up. I've been your host, Brandon Chalmers.
Bye.
I'm so sorry.